Now I would like to share with you then what would be the most important truth we seminarians particularly must learn. And second one, I would like to share with you how we are supposed to live as children of God. Usually I am not accustomed to read the sermon manuscript, but today I think it is better for me to mainly read. I know one American. He lives in one of the cities in the state of Indiana. Once I asked him about what makes the people in the state proud of themselves. We Nigerians must be proud of Indianapolis because that city has been providing the nice center for our General Assembly. Man is correct? Mm-hmm. According to him, they probably are proud of their limestones. And then he showed very kindly many beautiful buildings which were built of the limestones. And I tried to find what the limestone is in Korean. In Korean, Sokhaeam. To me, those buildings look very similar to the buildings in Roman Empire period. But my kind friend corrected me. Those stones are not limestone, but marble. In Korean, daerisak. I don't know in Tagalog yet. While I was watching those buildings which were made of limestones, I came to think that they have enough reasons to be proud of the limestones. You may be also proud of your customs, your culture, and your country, or your citizenship. I am proud of kimchi very much. Then may I ask you one thing? Are you proud of yourself? Are you proud of yourself? Actually, last couple of days, I have given this single question to my student at present office, at around the Glenn's table on the street, especially at the time of eating. Wow. Probably I made a big mistake because this single question could make them very serious. It looks a very single, simple question, but their answers have not been simple. Their answers have been usually divided into three parts. Yes, President, I am proud of myself. Some student, well, I am proud of myself sometime, but not always. Thirdly, I am not proud of myself. Then immediately, I try to give the second question. Why are you proud of yourself? Why not always? Why sometime only? And the answers are various, many different answers. But when I gave attention to their answers, I think I came to see that there is a common ground of their answers to my second question. That is, their answers seemed to be related to their academic capability in terms of grades they receive. Getting A makes them proud of themselves. Getting C, disappointed. So I hope our professors, please be merciful to give good grade. Dr. Cunningham now looked very serious. Or their religious conviction in terms of ministerial callings or sometimes their nationality. I am proud of my country. Or I was called to be servant of God. So I am proud of myself. Then if he or she is born of other country, how about he or she can be proud of himself or herself. So there are many different types of answers. And as our talking continues, we came to find that the unchangeable reason or foundation why I am proud of myself, or I can be proud of self, or why I must be proud of myself, it is nothing else than that I am a child of God. Hallelujah. It makes me very exciting. It makes me for me to find why I am here. I am proud of myself, not because I am a president. I am proud of myself because of my academic career. I am bravely proud of myself because I am a son of God. That is, God is my father. Yes, God, are you my father? And he says, always, yes, I am your father. I love you. Regardless of your morality, spirituality, failure, or success, you must be proud of your father. You must be proud of your sonship. You know, Sunan? Hallelujah. And I began to tell my student, my sisters and brothers, here is the reason why you study theology. Theology is nothing else than a means of expressing how much blessed it is to become a child of God, and also how to live as child of God. To me, up to now, at least two things are very simple, very fundamental: to become a child of God, to live as a child of God. Theologically, it could be termed a theology of regeneration, theology of sanctification. Yes, God, as revealed throughout the whole Bible, is the very Father of mine. Can I be proud of myself on the basis of my religious background, that my grandfather was a pastor and my father is now a minister or missionary? Can I be proud of myself because I am at least morally better than my neighbor who is not Christian? Or can I be proud of myself that I am capable of receiving applause from the professor who has been well known as the hardest professor? I don't know who that professor is on our campus, but our student must know very well. No, not at all. According to the teaching from Solomon, all of these must be vain and vain and vain completely. Only the life of God is eternal, ultimately meaningful and fundamentally sound. Only when I become a child of God, I can be proud of myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. One night, one person came to Jesus. His name was Nicodemus. If we read John chapter 3, verse 1, we could imagine that he might have a lot of many reasons to be proud of himself. Nicodemus was one of the Pharisees, so that he had tried to perfectly keep all commandments of Moses with all his might. He observed all kinds of religious feasts according to the strict traditions of the Jewish community. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jewish community to take care of the children who had no parents, widows who had no husband, or the poor people who had no food for daily life. And Nicodemus seemed to be very humble and spiritual, unusually in his time. Jesus was then young and a man of scandals, and Nicodemus was religiously and socially well-respected old man. But Nicodemus visited Jesus and greeted him with words from his heart. He said to Jesus, Rabbi, we know you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs, miracles that you do unless God is with you. How humble, how spiritual. Nicodemus recognized who Jesus was and highly praised him, more than probably we praise the Lord when we have worship service here. Then we could expect Jesus was supposed to give great Nicodemus more than a plus-plus, but he actually evaluated Nicodemus as a man of a grade F. In verse 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 5, Jesus once again said to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Here's found one of the most important truths in the Bible. That is, no one cannot see and enter into the kingdom of God unless she or he is not born again or born of the Holy Spirit. We learned that double negative expression is a way of emphasizing positive affirmation. Only those who are born again is fully qualified to become the people of the kingdom of God. Only those who are born of the Spirit can become children of God. In verse 6, Jesus explained to Nicodemus why he could not give him A plus but F in spite of his highly respectful evaluation from the Jewish community. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Yes, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Here is the theological foundation and the spiritual truth regarding the virgin birth of Jesus. Jesus was by birth both human and divine, so that only he can redeem us from the satanic death and give us his eternal life. All of these could be related to the fundamental basis regarding incarnation, Christology, redemption, and soteriology too. After Jesus declared the unchangeable truth that one is ought to be, must be born anew, and then taught clearly the fundamental reason why everyone must be born of the Spirit, he kindly reminded him of one of the well-known stories in the Old Testament. That is John chapter 3, verse 4. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. As those who, according to the words of Moses, behold the poison serpent which cursed the Israel people who committed sins could be saved from death. And those who behold Jesus, who was lifted up on the cross, can be saved from all sins and death. And furthermore, can receive eternal life through the work of the Spirit of life, as recorded in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. And John, the writer of the book of John, gave very clear summary regarding this in John 3:16. Would you memorize or read it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes into him would not perish, but would have eternal life. We know that there are two kinds of lives. Humans, limited life, and God's eternal life. Thus, when we believe into Jesus Christ, who was incarnated or embodied God, crucified on the cross, resurrected, and finally became the transfigured spirit, we come to receive the eternal life of God. Then who are receive the life of God? Yes, we are children of God. As John teaches this very clearly and firmly in John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God, to those who believe into his name. I was born physically in 1952, and I was born anew in 1968. Before 1968 and after 1968, the life is so different, even though my height is still small, even though I am still poor, even though I am surrounded by many fears, tears, anger. But anyway, I am a beloved son of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I praise God because he is my father. Even though I lost my mother very early when I was 7 years old, but fortunately, I have a still very vivid memory by God's grace how much my physical father loved me without my mother. Usually, infant children have a lot of complaints. Daddy, you do not buy this toy quickly. Mommy. But when the children get matured, whenever they think of their parents, their hearts are broken. Oh, I get old. Then I now could have my parents' heart, but it seems to be too late for me to please them. We know that we Nazarene have emphasized the importance of the holy life of sanctification last one century or more. And relatively, it seems that we give less attention to the grace of regeneration or the eternal life of God or becoming children of God. We know that we Protestant Christians have emphasized the doctrine of justification by Jola Gratia, Jola Fide, and Jola Scriptura. And it seems to me to result in giving much emphasis on the doctrine of hamartiology and less emphasis on becoming children of God as a starting point to enter the life of sanctification. Let's confirm that if we are regenerated or born anew of the Holy Spirit, and let us now confess that I am a child of God. Would you please confess with me now? I am child of God. Hallelujah. It is the very fundamental foundation of the reason why I can be proud of myself. Not because of my nationality, my moral behaviors. We also need to know that the fundamental reason why God was incarnated with the form of man Jesus, why Jesus suffered life to die on the cross, and why he was eventually resurrected to become the Spirit, it is because to help us to become children of God. It's not cheap grace. God has costed tremendously. Oh, tremendously. How can he repay his gift, his grace? Nothing but just confessing, I am your child. Here is, the crucial key why I serve God and what is the fundamental purpose, goal, or direction for my ministry. I have another reason to be proud of myself. Recently I came to find it. So now that I have shared with my student. That is, God is now not only my Father, but also our Father. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God is not only my Father, but also our Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Father of Jesus Christ is the very Father of mine. I have several friends for whom I feel proud of myself. Whenever I sing the Lord's Prayer, I feel proud of myself as one of the brothers and the sisters of the kingdom of God. The father of Augustine, Aquinas, Luther, Calvin, John Wesley, Galbraith, all of this, the father of them is also my father. Oh, hallelujah. The father of Brit, Owens, Fairbanks, Nelson, Fuqua is also my father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I am their brother. Mm-hmm. I am proud of myself because of this reason. The father of our professors, Cunningham, Strauss, Wood, Tabuena, Nakotipi, Eugenio, Merton, Land, Kwan is also my father, my father. And here is a list of my friends. Do you want me to call each one of these? Amen. But it will last up to midnight of today. The father of my friends, my student from 16 countries, from more than 16 denominations to APNTS is also my father. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Your president is nothing else than your brother. So probably a tall person could be my elder brother. One time my second daughter, when she was about 7 years old, she asked me, Daddy, how old are you? I am 38 years old. Mommy, how old are you? I am 37 years old. That's very strange. Why? Daddy is older than mommy, but mommy is taller than daddy. So Strauss is my sister. And then how about Dr. Cunningham? In terms of what height, he's my older brother. In terms of the older president, he's my older brother. But in terms of age, he's my younger brother. Here is a song of the Lord's Prayer. It starts with, Our Father. Jesus says, Our Father, you are the father of Sunan, who is my brother. Hallelujah. Yes, the creator of the heavens and the earth is both my father and our father. Yes, the governor of the history of the universe and human world is my father and our father. Yes, the redeemer of the world is my father and our father. Yes, the father of our community is my father and also our Father. Then let us praise my Father and our Father. I according to this script by singing now, but I will skip it, you know, to save time. My dear brothers and sisters, if we are proud of myself because God is my Father and our Father, let us try to learn how to live as children of God. Now, I'd like to just read with you, you know, to learn how we as brothers and sisters supposed to live. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Yeah, our Father. When Jesus told this, our Father, at the time, surely he was in heaven. But now he is also in me, in you, and on our campus too. Hallelujah. Hallowed be your name. Surely we must sanctify our Father by saying no to sin, by saying yes to God, by rejecting all kinds of idols. Only our God is eternal God. Only he is eternal life. We must sanctify not only us, but also sanctify God. He is substantially or ultimately different from any other small gods. Your kingdom come by Jesus coming into this world. Your will be done by the Holy Spirit come and through our ministry. Our Father's will be done through our ministry, leading non-believers become what? Children of God. That's all. That's all. And let us discipline them to live as, let them become children of God. Secondly, let them live as children of God. If you fully agree to now president, then you are qualified to graduate tomorrow. The other things are just decorated, necessary learning process. So we children of God must not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present our requests to our Father, who is wise, who is rich, who is merciful. Then his peace, which transcends our region, our circumstance, will guide our heart, our mind in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And if we confess, I am your child, we are children of God, then we must forgive our debts, or forgive our friends, our sisters, our brothers, and love them. And we must pray, Father, you led your only son to the wilderness, being tempted by evil, but I am not qualified to be what? Overcoming always. So please lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one who accuses without ceasing. You are not qualified to become children of God. You are not qualified to live as children of God. I know your character. I know your power. I know your wrong habit. That's wrong. That's lying. So we must say that you are a liar. I am son of God. I am daughter of God. Hallelujah. So let our church members know that they are children of God and they have already power to overcome the liars. So let us take or wear the arms of God. I have one point, half page. My dear sisters and brothers, let God our Father who are in the heavens and in us be on our campus, and let us sanctify his holy name. My dear sisters and brothers who are children of God, let us present APNTS to our Father as grace school, for it's his school, our Father, and he is great. Let's offer APNTS to our Father as the best school by the best education. For our God wants us to be His best children. What would be the best education? Our education could be best if we concentrate on four dimensions. The Bible-based education, ecclesia or church-oriented education, society-relevant education toward the local community of the multi-generation. And let us, our campus, be the campus of APNTS, campus of agape, or love of God, for our sisters and brothers and neighbors. Campus of praying to God with requests for me, for us, community, nations, personally, intercessorily, collectively. Campus of no to sin and yes to God, who is holy. Campus of trusting God and our sisters and brothers. Campus of seeking after the Spirit for, you know, for us to live as children of God and, you know, to fulfill His will through our ministry. Then shall stand up and praise God, who is my Father and our Father, who loves me and us so much to make us be proud of ourselves as His children and live as His children to fulfill His will through our ministry. In the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our Father who is in the heavens, your name is sanctified. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, also on earth, through our ministry. Give us today our daily bread for our physical life and our spiritual life. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, forever and forever. Amen.